our brand stories, get inspired and learn from thought leaders, CEOs, business owners, managers, entrepreneurs, and experts who tell their brand stories and share their firsthand insights. For all brand lovers, this show is to help you develop and grow your brand in a more intentional, strategic, and most of all, authentic way, locally and globally. Whether it's your personal brand or company brand, or whether you want to brand your product, service, or cause. Welcome to Brands Talk. I'm your host, Brigitte Bakowski. I'm the founder and owner of Bridget Brands. I help my clients craft meaningful strategies that effectively elevate their brands to unleash their full potential and shine. Walk the talk. Let's get started and dive with me into the world of brands. My guest today is Maria Gamm. Maria is the founder and CEO of the coaching and training company NMS Communications. As a former Fortune 500 executive in corporate America, she directed successful businesses valued at more than $110 million. Her global experience led her to write the Amazon best-selling book Healing the Corporate World, plus three more books, Values-Based Leadership for Dummies, Resiliency Journal, and Gratitude Journal. She is dedicated to helping busy professionals align their life and leadership impact. Maria's unique perspective on the inner game of leadership, coupled with values-based leadership skills, makes her unique. Maria has coached executives from the Oppenheimer Funds, Capital One, Kronos Incorporated, Jack Australia, and the Jamaican government cabinet. She has been a speaker at AstraZeneca, Mid-Atlantic Permanente, MHA, Women in Leadership and Business, and Women's MBA International. Her credits include Inc. Magazine, Time Magazine, Wall Street Radio Network, and the Women's Media Outlet, and a column at Forbes Women. I warmly welcome Maria Gamm. Welcome to Brands Talk.
Thank you, Brigitte. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you, Maria. I'm so excited to have you as my guest today. There is so much to talk about when it comes to values and when it comes to, women empowerment, I would say. So, Maria, before we start digging very, very deep into that topic, could you please share your personal story? How did you get there where you are at the moment?
Well, I spent more than 20 years in corporate America, and I worked in the fashion industry, which was amazing, which I loved. I really did. I loved my career. And I started at the bottom and rose through the ranks to run several very large brands within large corporations. So all of a sudden, one day I realized I want to do this better. I want this to mean something. I want to have a bigger impact, but I didn't really know how to do any of that. And I always had great mentors. That was never a problem. But what I realized back then, and this is a little bit more than 10 years ago, what I realized back then is that we really weren't structured in the corporate world to be able to support people who wanted to do leadership or personal development work. And so finally I thought, what am I waiting for? I'm just going to go do this, because the thing that I felt that everybody was searching for, not only were these skills, but was just clarity, like clarity about what they were doing, why they were doing it, how they can do it better. All of those things that you, at the end of the day, when you're in your commute, you're thinking, you know, Is this it? I think there's more, but I don't know how to make it more than what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Interesting. You made a decision. You wanted to start your own business. So how did you get from corporate America to becoming a 4-times best-selling author, coach, consultant, and trainer? How did you?
So I did. I just jumped out, and I always say when I tell this story, I do not recommend just jumping blindly, but I did. This is how I did it. So I just jumped blindly out and set up my own business. And it became really clear within the first year that the value-based concept was really my wheelhouse. And with encouragement, I was encouraged to write that first book, Healing the Corporate World. And it was very, I'm going to be honest, the first book you ever write is makes you incredibly vulnerable, because all of a sudden you're going to write something that if you put it on Amazon, there's a chance everyone in the world can see. So it's very personal and intimate, that first book. And it was hard for me to write it. But I did, and it became an Amazon bestseller, which I'm very, very proud of, for my first book out of the box. And then the other books came pretty quickly thereafter. Value-based leadership was not a big concept 10 years ago. Now it's everywhere, everywhere. But it wasn't back then. And I always in my heart wished I could write that book again, just from a place of knowing a bit more and having more experience with clients and having to construct all of this. And so John Wiley and Son, which is a big publishing house here in the United States, asked me to write the Four Dummies book. And that was fantastic, because it really breaks the concept down. The other books came, and it was so funny because they came from Barnes & Noble requesting that I write these books through my agent. And when the projects came up, I thought, yeah, I can write about resilience. It's a big part of building a brand and building your value-based leadership presence and living an authentic life. And then gratitude came up during COVID. It was just crazy how it all happened. That's a very fast timeline. But part of the message here is when you have the opportunity, you walk through the door.
Yeah.
And you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. You will.
Yeah, you have to grab it. And even if you think you're not ready, you just start and you're going to be ready.
Exactly.
We often think, oh my God, I can't do that. I'm not ready for that. Just go do it. And the path is, yeah, coming
you'll figure it
by
out.
Itself. You're going to figure it out.
And you're going to make mistakes. There's no two ways about it. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have regrets. And it's okay, because it's just part of the process.
Yeah, it's learning, and it becomes part of your journey, and it becomes part of what's important to you going forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's start with the topic or the content of your first book. It's about the corporate world. Why would we need to heal the corporate world? Could you explain to us what's wrong with it? What do we need to heal?
I think there's a certain amount of dysfunction that happens in the workplace. We are more aware of it today in 2022 than ever before. Absolutely. There's more awareness about diversity and inclusion and all of these very important issues. But a baseline is that we need to treat people like human beings. We need to treat people with dignity and respect. We need to honor opinions. We need to be able to enhance creativity and productivity. And a lot of that will not happen unless you have a healthy ecosystem within your organization. That's your company culture. And it stems from the leader. And I always tell people that come to me, coaching clients, and they're like, but my company doesn't care. I'm like, that's okay that your company doesn't care. Oftentimes, like when I first started this, the companies did not care, but the leaders cared. The people who were leading the teams of 10, 20, 30, 100, 150. You can make that change, and you can set that standard within your own team. It does not have to come from the top. Ideally, it would be wonderful if it came from the top, but it doesn't always happen that way. It doesn't mean that you can't lead a values-based life. And that's really what it comes down to, because the values that you have in your workplace are the values that you hold near and dear to you in your personal life as well, and how you conduct yourself.
Yeah, you're so right. Behind all these big organizations, corporations, institutions, there are these human beings. And in order to make an organization, an organizational brand strong, we have to really appreciate every single individual, which in itself are personal brains. They are stronger they are, the better they are united and going the same direction, the more an organization can shine as a brand.
Sure. And your brand can be, and I think anybody can relate to this. You can be in a company that's tough but fair, or tough but brutal.
Exactly.
Right? You can be in a company that has a high level of excellence and has kindness and collaboration as part of their values, or you can be one that has a performance expectation of excellence and it's a cutthroat culture. So it's a choice of how you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, in my lifetime, in my career, I've turned down jobs because I didn't want to work for people who were so brutal and competitive and cutthroat. And that is their brand. Mm-hmm. It is their brand. And they're actually proud of it. Mm-hmm. Still today, I can think of a financial firm that works this way. Big one. And people don't want to work for that firm anymore. It's finally resonating post-COVID that the value of balance, the value of cooperation and collaboration, the value of teamwork, the value of joy and humor and whatever it is that you choose to create is more important, because then you will do the hard work when the work is hard.
And at the end of the day, it's much more sustainable. In the long run, it's always the companies that appreciate their workforce.
And yeah, exactly.
Thing. I also worked with companies that were more on the brutal side. And I decided for myself, this is not how I want to live. And this is not where I want to create value.
Exactly.
Company.
Exactly.
It's always our choice. Sometimes it's hard, but you have to stay by your values. And that brings me to the next book that you mm-hmm. It's all about values-based leadership for dummies.
And yes.
I want to dig deeper into that. You consider yourself as an expert in value-based leadership. Mm-hmm. And that has become a very, very, very important topic nowadays in the mm-hmm. leadership. So can you explain to us what values-based leadership is exactly? How is it different
yes.
from servants leadership? So what is it?
So it's an evolution out of servant leadership. And really what it comes down to is creating the North Star for how you're going to lead your team and your life. It is the foundational principles that are your guiding light on what you will and will not tolerate, what you will and will not do, how you will or will not engage people. So oftentimes you will have a brand that says, our brand is about kindness. But they're not necessarily kind to their employees. The leaders are not kind to their employees. And it's not baked into their performance reviews. It's not any of that stuff. Kindness is one thing that is a little tough to put into a performance review, but empathy and compassion in dealing with people is a way of qualifying those things. So when we say, oh, my highest value, like for me, one of my highest values is fairness. I can't stand to see people be treated unfairly. It really upsets me, actually. And I'm the daughter of an ex-New York City police officer, so I think a lot of that has come from my upbringing, that I needed to be fair. And when I'm leading people in my corporate career, I always wanted to be fair about it and not treat one person better than the other, not show favoritism to another person, but also, when you talk about it in leading in a corporation, are you fair to vendors? Mm-hmm. So do you give everyone the opportunity to give their presentation? Do you give everyone an opportunity to do an RFP? Or obviously you have to narrow it down. But fairness has to be qualified. And that's the important part of value-based leadership that is often missed. So yes, I want to be fair, I'm going to be fair, but you don't qualify what that means. So then you can't really teach your team how you want them to engage and interact with each other. So that one thing about fairness and being fair to the vendors, that was something I always instilled in my team. No matter what, you are always polite to them. Until they become really obnoxious, then you have to push back a little harder. I understand that. But you always give people the opportunity. You narrow down, you communicate with them why they are no longer an option so that they understand what your need is that they're not able to fill. This is all about fairness. So you qualify it. Mm-hmm. So you can pick, I always tell people, pick three of the type of values that you really want to stand for. It's not that simple, Brigitta. It's not that simple. I've run weekend workshops on this and people come in thinking one day it's going to be these three. And then by the time they leave, it's completely different And people have very emotional reactions to this. Actually, I've had people cry because they're asked to give up something as opposed and to prioritize, and it's hard to do. But when you give color around, when you decide what your value is and you decide how you want to animate it, what that actually looks like, how you want your team to action it and you communicate it, it changes everything. There's clarity then. There's no guesswork. And that's the important thing. So servant leadership is about being of service and understanding that as a leader, you are there to serve your team. And that doesn't change in value-based leadership. Your job is to take obstacles out of the way. Your job is to invest in those people in order to make them the next level of leaders, hopefully with a value-based foundation that will move through the organization and move it to a more light-sided rather than dark-sided organization or just plain leadership. But I always say that it starts in servant leadership and understanding that you were there to serve your people and the organization, not the other way around.
Obviously, it's really about the clarity and communication when it comes to values-based leadership and how that is linked to building our brand or our reputational capital.
Exactly.
Stick with our headline or with our heading of today's show. So could you explain a little bit more why this is so crucial in building our brand?
It's absolutely critical. Our reputation capital, our reputational capital, precedes us before we even show up. I don't know anybody who hasn't sat around the table and said, we need to hire somebody. Who do you know? And they're like, well, I know this person. You know why? Because he or she is so professional and so organized and really listens to outside input. This is a person who's going to be a team player. There is your brand. There is your reputational capital. Everybody has something that they carry with that people then convey. It's word of mouth. It's the oldest brand building in the world is just the reputation that people converse from mouth to mouth to mouth that builds it. Whether it's 100% accurate or not, it all depends. But if you're a professional and you're leading people, what do you want to be known for? Like, how do you want people to view you? Some people do want to be viewed as the hammer, and maybe that's their brand. But I'm not so sure that that's really what's going to work in the corporate world anymore. So like I said, when we started 10 years ago, we had a lot of dysfunction, a lot. With the Me Too movement, with everything that's happened, diversity, inclusion, a lot of things are moving to the better side of things and making things more fair and equitable across the board. But what do you as a leader in this time want to be known for? Do you want to be somebody who is a team builder? Do you want to be somebody who is empathetic, but demanding to a certain degree of excellence? So it's all about a balancing act and deciding what you want and how you want to animate it.
Yeah, and let's stick with that. How does someone action his or her values in the workplace? When it's a leader or when it's assistant, how do we best communicate that? How do we stand for our values?
Yeah. So I take people through a process where they create their own starlight. So the leader creates their starlight, whether they're at the top of the organization or if they're just leading their own team, I ask them to create their own starlight. And it's a process that asks them to identify what the value is. Let's just say it's fun. We'll use an easy one, fun. That fun and joy and laughter, whatever it is a big value to them because they want the workplace to be pleasant. Then they have to choose the actions that come along with it. Does that mean that every Friday they do something together? Does it mean that there are certain activities that they do during the day or during the week or the month or the year that are about building fun as part of their brand? Whatever it is, when you hear somebody say, oh, I loved working for that person, she was so fun, and then they qualify with why she was so fun. Because laughter was allowed. It was encouraged without being mean-spirited. Those types of things. So I ask that people do that. and really dig deep in terms of what they want. Like I said, fairness for me has always been a really big one, and I'm very clear about how I want fairness to be in the workplace with vendors, with each other, how you treat each other on your own team and outside of the team. So you do all of that. Then the second level of this is, as a leader, is to have this conversation with your team. Like, we can be better. We can do things better. We can be more efficient when we're all on the same page. And so these are the values that I stand for. And you tell them, these are how I want it to be animated. And they can follow suit. But oftentimes, your team will say, well, what about X? What about Y? What about other values? And you give them the opportunity to shape the team values to add, edit, delete. Doesn't mean you have to change yours, but it's important to see what's important to them and what they want to embody beyond what you're saying. And this way, when you have an issue where there isn't something, again, I'm going to use fairness, where it isn't fair, you can actually say to them, but we have agreed that fairness is to give the opportunity to these vendors in these ways. Did you give these vendors fairness to submit their proposal, to have it reviewed, to give the presentation? And if you knock them out, did you tell them why? And if they didn't do that, then they're held accountable for it. Mm. Easy.
Exactly. It sounds easy when you say it. There is not only the values that we want to lead by and we want to live by, but it's also, there is also this higher purpose or the so-called North Star.
Yes.
I mentioned it already, that we are striving for our big why. Why are we doing that? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that's still not quite sure. So what's my purpose in life? Maybe I know my values, but what is my higher purpose? And how can I give more purpose and especially meaning to my
work? I think there is a pattern that you can see if you really take the time to analyze everything that you have been through. The reason why you chose the education you chose, how you feel about that education, how you feel about the job that you chose, and then what is actually being executed. We all, because we're so busy, what are we really doing? Are we really helping anyone? So one of the things in the fashion industry, people think, oh, it's so fluffy. It is a brutally tough business. No joke. So one day I sat and I thought to myself, why am I doing this? What's the end result? And I actually brought the team. This is how this process actually came into being, was working with my own team. And we sat around and we're like, why are we doing this? Because this is really tough work. And sometimes it's just thankless. The amount of detail and coordinating with so many different countries and vendors, it's really complex business. And what we really came down to was, we were creating clothing for people to go and celebrate with their families or friends, or we're making the shirt that this man is going to wear on his very first date with the person who could possibly be his wife, or vice versa. Or they're going to wear these clothing to go to a wedding and celebrate something. And for the team, it was important that it was all about celebration. So when we broke it down, okay, that's what the company does. This is what the work brings into the world. But what does it mean to each one of us? What it meant to us was to be able to create connection in the world with people through just events, just having them have the opportunity to go to an event, go on a job interview, and feel really good about it. And I know everybody always thinks your purpose is this lofty, like, biblical situation where seas part, oceans and massive healings and all this, they create such expectation around this when all we're asked to do in life on this planet is to be of service to one another. And if you think of your purpose as how are you being of service to one another, it makes it simple and you can find the pattern. Like for me, it's fairness, it's clarity. That's what it is. It always is. It's being direct with people and helping them to see where they need to grow. Let's put it that way. And that is a big part of my purpose. Now, I could do that in corporate America in what I was doing. I do it today in the work that I'm doing, and I will continue to do it probably until I am in the grave. It is not some crazy biblical, everybody's got to be Oprah Winfrey. That is not what purpose is about. Purpose is about being of service to one another and the special tools and gifts that you have. And you choose how you want to do it. You're doing it, Brigitta, through brands. Mm-hmm. You're teaching people how to be authentically themselves and to project into the world a positive image. And hopefully whatever they do helps another person. It helps another person, whether it's a service or an item, it doesn't matter. But this is your unique way and your unique purpose of how you're bringing it in. And also, if anybody hasn't watched Brigitta enough, her joy is infectious, which is a big part of her purpose here, is to spread joy. Yeah. It's not complicated. And I'm really simplifying the process. But if you want to know more about it, just reach out to me. But we can find your purpose very, very, very quickly. And then you choose how you want to animate it. We have to remember that in life, it's always a choice whether you're animating a value. You're choosing a value and then you animate it. It's your choice how you do that. Your purpose is seeing the patterns and then you choose how you want to animate it.
Exactly. And you said when we have this purpose and when we go for it and when we serve people, we feel good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, triggering a change that
right.
is having a snowballing effect. It's mm-hmm. trickling down and mm-hmm. it's changing other people's lives. And then mm-hmm. you also not only feel good, but as you say, it's all about happiness and joy. It's because
yeah.
I think when you are that, when you are happy, then you are, I think, also fully aligned with everything that you are, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When you're happy, when you have happiness, you have joy, you have laughter, you're willing to listen to things that are coming in from other parts. And that's your guidance. That's the important part of all of this, is to be able to open yourself up, to see the possibility for what you can do and how you can use your gifts and tools in this world to better everyone's life. Yes, make money. I'm a capitalist. Make lots and lots of money. Do great things with that money. That's fine. But just realize it's simpler than you think. Stop overthinking it.
And I think you are much more open to receive. To
yes.
out there. Yeah. To
yes.
read between the lines. It's your intuition. You are much more open to everything that is here to wants to yeah, access you and wants to mm-hmm. yeah, embrace you in one way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. And I think that that's an important skill to leave people with, Brigitta, because if you can stay in that space, whether you call it joy, happiness, laughter, gratitude has enormous healing powers, but these are all connected. You have you're basically saying, I am open to receiving more. I am open to receiving new guidance. I'm open to receiving another way to touch people's lives. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, you're more open. Nobody wants to hang out with a Debbie Downer. Nobody wants to do that. Find your joy.
I guess our listeners are really inspired by what you have explained to us now. And what are the things that you would suggest our listeners to begin with if they want to transition into mm-hmm. values-based leadership of themselves to lead themselves
yes.
or mm-hmm. others? So mm-hmm. how can we bring about such a shift? What are the first steps?
The first thing is to have awareness. And sometimes people may listen to this and be able to say, I know what they are. Now I have to think about how I want to action them mm-hmm. and how I want to communicate it to the team. But let's face it, there's more to life than what we think and what we know. And when we're stuck and we're busy, we're stuck in one set of thoughts. Okay. So my best advice to everyone is to find a daily practice. This can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 15 minutes. And I actually have something free that I'll leave for them in the show notes called the Daily Set Point. And it's to understand that how you come into your day and how you are affects other people, and that you get to choose what that's going to be and how you're going to affect other people. That creates a state, that state of openness, of joy, of gratitude, of awareness, so that you can start to listen to yourself as to what you want to do. Do you want to do value-based leadership? Do you think you have it? Do you just need more clarity? Just keep doing it. And my challenge is always to do it for 30 days and then see what happens. And if you want help doing your values and making it real for your team, just reach out to me. All that information's in the show notes too.
Yes, they are. There is one more question I would really like to ask because you're also an expert of that. So we have been living in this time recently where more and more people push this reset button. Yeah, we talked about the great resignation and the great reset and how we best navigate the great reset. So is there any tips that you can give based on, okay, now I'm pushing this button. I really want to start out new. I want to change my life. I want to get out of this grinding that I have been doing for so long. You also stepped out of employment and started your own business. Yeah. And there are also these cycles of change. How can we do something like that?
The whole concept of the great reset or great resignation, I call it reset because not everybody wants to quit their job.
Yeah.
They don't. They really don't. However, the COVID epidemic gave us the opportunity to really sit and think about what's important to us. And it's an evaluation period where we have to decide what's important and what's not so important. What's priority? What is really not a priority? What do we really value? All of these really important questions. And I want to say, and I want to encourage everyone to think beyond just their job. Because if your partnership is not healthy, if your marriage is not healthy, if your relationships with some friends are just toxic, it is a time to really clean house. I know it sounds tough, but it's time to really clean house. There's a cycle of change that we all go through. First, you have to have a reveal, then you evaluate, then you create your core values, which is your course correction, and then you move into blossoming again. Just remember, you can't keep using the same soil. You can't in a garden without fertilizing it, without rotating it, doing a lot of different things to make it fresh. So I also have a report on the Great Reset, which you're happy to pick up also completely free, that gives you the four cycles and the course correction. And you'll see, if you really think about the times in your life when you were asked to make a change, what happened when you didn't? Everybody passes you by. The world keeps moving. And this is not a FOMO thing. This is an evolution. This is a growth thing. It's a human transformation that we go through in cycles throughout our entire life. Mm-hmm. I hope that helps.
Absolutely. I would like to come back to two more books that you have published. There is the Gratitude Journal, and you mentioned it already, and then this Resiliency Journal. So how do they differ from each other? And why would someone rather go and choose the Resiliency Journal instead of a Gratitude? Or should we journal both of them?
Well, they are different and some pieces of it overlap. The Resiliency Journal is for people who are feeling like either they're stale, they're bored, they're frustrated, they've gone through a major life change, a passing. Someone in their family is going through a critical illness, whatever it is that is a massive change, the Resiliency Journal is set really to help you understand that you have tools everywhere around you to pull you through it. Mm-hmm. It's to help you find the good rather than harping on only the past, anything that might be negative. And it is tools that are both spiritual and also very scientific that help you move through healing process and understand what you're feeling is actually normal. The reason why I wrote that one was for two reasons. One, as a professional, we are all going through something. We all have challenges, whether it's in the workplace, in our personal life, whatever it is, and we need to always tap into that resilience, that inner strength, to get us through, because toughing it out doesn't work. That's just unhealthy And it's pretty much masochistic to do to yourself. It'll only back up on you later if you don't deal with your stuff. Mm-hmm. Within that is some gratitude, pieces of gratitude, because it's part of the process, is to see the beauty of things, to be grateful for every little thing. The gratitude journal, which is, I love both of these books, and they're so beautiful. They really are. They're beautiful little books. But the gratitude journal itself is really about creating that practice of gratitude and seeing how in every culture there is a specific type of a gratitude ritual. Right back to Native Americans. I have a couple Native American prayers that are in there. But it's really fascinating to see how science backs up that gratitude changes your brain chemistry. It's amazing. And it's a way to understand that you harness your brain to focus on looking for more good than looking for bad, because it always is about what you focus on.
Yeah. Yeah. There is one question I have regarding resiliency. And this is new to me. You said you wrote that for people who are, and among others, bored. So that is, if someone is bored, for a new purpose, or how does that relate to resiliency?
Boredom can sometimes be. Mm-hmm. They don't see their own gifts. They don't see their own value. They feel a little hopeless because maybe this is all there is. There's nothing else for me. Boredom is just another word for all of those things. Boredom can be, I never had the opportunity to go and do what I really wanted to do, and now I'm stuck with this and I'm really not happy about it. But there are basically 8 different tools that gets covered in that book. And I teach this separately as well, but 8 different tools that if you build up those tools, again, it helps you pull through to see that you actually have a framework of people and a way to move through that boredom or that frustration or just stagnation that you feel. Yeah.
Really interesting. And I think that's going to help a lot of people, because most of us would not make this connection between boredom and resiliency, and that there is something we can actually do.
Absolutely.
The gratitude, gratitude exercise or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else that you would like to mention or tell or give advice to all?
I think more than anything, what I want people to know is that who you are is enough. Who you are is enough. And when you stop discounting all of those gifts, the things like the values, the purpose, the meaning, all of it becomes so much clearer. All of this is inside work. It's all inside work that we do. We are inherently good people who know that we are here to positively impact other people as leaders and just as our everyday human beings. And don't make it so complicated and stop beating yourself up.
Thank you so much. This is so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brigitte. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. But we are not done yet. I have a fun play now that we are going to do. It's rapid fire terms. I will throw out a term and you pick it up and say something to it. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. Good. Purpose. What do you think about it?
Peacefulness. Just peacefulness and reassurance. Yeah.
Success.
Joy. Joy and travel. Joy and travel, travel, travel.
Yeah, you're also a global person. You have traveled a lot in your life. Very quickly.
Yes, I have.
What were your destinations? Where did you live so far?
I have lived in, I lived in New York City. I am a native New Yorker, but now live in Virginia. I have lived and worked in Melbourne, Australia. I have also did part of my education in London. But are you asking me for other places I've been?
Yeah, where you have worked, or maybe a favorite place somewhere on this earth.
Here we go. Florence, Bali, Turkey, India, Taiwan, Korea, Hong Kong, mainland China, New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
Just name it. I've been to all of them, and there's not one that I, there's only one that I won't say what it is that I would never go back to, but everything else I absolutely loved my global experience, makes me who I am today, and it makes me love people so much more and understand that it doesn't matter the color of anybody's skin or the flag that they fly behind them in their homes or in their businesses. We're all the same people with the same needs, the same wants, the same desires. So I count that as probably one of the most important parts of my development as a human being.
Yeah.
Is travel.
For me too. Traveling, it was really important in order to really understand different cultures. And there is so much to learn from each individual culture and to also take out of this culture. And
yes.
Yeah, internalize it. It's beautiful to see how
yes.
people live and work and think around the world. And yep. there is more things we have in common than we think.
Exactly, exactly.
There's three more terms.
Okay.
It would be mindset.
Mindset, for me, it's brain chemistry.
Women yeah. empowerment.
I think that women are going to show a much kinder, gentler, but strong leadership in this world. And I think the local politics are forcing that hand all over in many nations, not just here in the United States.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah. brands.
And brands. I love brands because I've always worked in a brand environment. Protect your brand, build your brand. Just know that brand is who you are. So just be yourself. Be authentic.
Yes.
yeah.
Good. Maria, where can listeners find you? I'm sure there is people out there who want to get in touch with you. How can they reach you?
They can find me on my website, which is mariagam.com, which I know you'll have all this in the show notes. And then on Instagram and LinkedIn are the two best places. Those are the two social media platforms that I use the most. And just search me by my name and you will find me. Just connect in with me. I offer tons of masterclasses and newsletters with lots of items. And usually I'm even giving handouts in my newsletter. So just join me in my community.
All right. Good, Maria. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
It was a real pleasure having you and talking about why the corporate world needs healing and why value-based leadership is so critical in building a strong brand and reputational capital. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was my conversation with Maria Gamb. If you like my show, follow Brands Talk on your preferred app, share it on social media, and if you find a minute or two, leave a quick rating or review. Thank you so much. If you want to learn more about me and my services, head over to bridgetbrands.com and get inspired. If you need support in becoming a strong and truly authentic brand, drop me an email. I'd love to be your guide on your hero journey. I hope you will stay tuned in on the next episode when we dive into the world of brands.